a community station because we live and work right here.
Very community involved, and I like that.
Hometown Radio, 1340 WSTA.
Lucky 13, WSTA time check, 8:30. And hey, we got a special guest with us. We got the CEO of WAPA, as we're going to talk a little bit and hear about a year in review of great things. Good morning to CEO Andy Smith. How are you today?
Good morning, Mr. Otling. Good morning to the listening audience, and good morning to the men and women of the WAPA family. I'm doing fantastic this morning. How are you?
Great, great, great. It's always great to hear from WAPA. And I got to say, before you even start, I've noticed some improvements. So I'll let you just share with the public the progress you have made over the past year.
No, I appreciate the opportunity to do that, and certainly ask questions on anything I talk about, and you know, I want to talk about what we've done, but also talk about where we're going. So when I think about what some of the big achievements of the last year, when we look at the electric side of the system, as we know, I think hopefully as our audience knows, we've had a number of projects underway to put electrical infrastructure underground, or put composite poles in to really harden the system for storms. For the undergrounding, we are at Golden Grove, Midlands, and Containerport on St. Croix, 95% complete with those projects, and they'll be wrapping up here in the next few months. On St. John, we've completed the undergrounding of Feeder 7 through Cruz Bay, and we also are starting commissioning on the four new Wärtsilä generators at the Randolph-Harley Power Plant on St. Thomas that will help lower our cost of producing electricity. So those are all really impactful projects for the territory. On the water side, the Clifton Hill Water Project on St. Croix is almost 90% complete. And the water team, I have to really give a great shout out to the water team, because they've secured a grant from FEMA called a Prudent Replacement Grant that'll be approximately $1 billion grant, billion with a B. And that will, over the next few years, entirely replace the water system on St. Croix, because it's been deemed that it was damaged during the storms. And FEMA has said that it's better off to replace it than repair it. So a lot of good things coming to really help the community and and really improve our electric service. So those things are all very powerful.
Great. Now, let's talk a little bit. And, you know, people hear about your fuel issue. Where are you at with that?
So where our fuel issue is there are two pieces of that. One is just the physical supply of fuel. I'm sure everybody listening today, is aware that Vitol has been our propane supplier and built the infrastructure, so the system that stores and delivers propane to our generators. I was very public about the fact that there was disruption in that fuel supply. There are negotiations ongoing with Vitol that, we expect to resolve that issue once and for all. And hopefully we're going to be nearing conclusion of that here very soon. It'll take some time to get to actual completion of us acquiring the infrastructure for propane. Anytime you buy anything, it takes a while, unless you're at the store, it takes a while to do all the paperwork and contracts and everything that go with it. But at that point, we will control our own energy destiny in terms of our propane supply.
Let's talk about how could you convince businesses, one of the big thing as far as businesses coming to the Virgin Islands, how reassuring it is for WAPA.
Charlie, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, there I am. Good, good. Okay. Sorry about that. My question to you was, what and how can you reassure businesses? We hear about the growth of businesses, the economy, and people questioning, hey, could I invest, and then especially overnight stuff, hotels, and having the power go off and on and that type of stuff. What's the improvement that people could be assured of for this year?
So yes, our outage rate, we should see that improve for two reasons. One is, yeah, I mentioned all of the investment that's nearing completion in the wires that bring electricity to customers. The other big piece of the reliability component of the Water and Power Authority and electric side is that some of our generators are very old. They've not been invested in. So just like a car, if you don't service your oil, you know, if you don't keep your tires well maintained, the car breaks down, right? You come out and you got a flat tire in the morning, you can't drive to work or wherever you need to go. Same thing with power plants. If you don't maintain them, they break often. So I mentioned that we're in the process of starting to commission four new generators on the island of St. Thomas. When that is complete, St. Thomas can be served with generation that is all, you know, less than 3 to 4 years old. And four of the generators will be brand new. That will materially improve the outage rate of the power plants. Turning to St. Croix, the exact same construct exists on St. Croix. We have about half of the generation that we operate on St. Croix is new and efficient. The other half is old and has not been maintained. And we are in the process right now. We have an application in with VIHFA for funding from HUD to buy two new generators for the island of St. Croix. That will have the same effect where we will have machines or generators that are essentially, you know, brand new or certainly less than 3 to 4 years old. Exact same dynamic where we expect those generators to break much less frequently. So we should see our reliability significantly improve.
Also, question, what is the agency doing as far as businesses or homes that are getting off the grid and say going solar? How do you compensate for that income that's won't be there? What's your plan?
Right, and it's a great question because that really impacts us very negatively. When we think about the Water and Power Authority, let's say we have a simple example. Let's say we have 100 customers. Okay, and that's all we have. And the way that our rates get set is, you know, the Public Services Commission determines, okay, the authority needs, you know, X amount of money to serve those 100 customers. You know, it needs $5,000 to serve those 100 customers. It then takes the $5,000 and divides by 100. Right? And then you do some math on the amount of electricity that each of those customers will use, and then that becomes rate that those customers pay per kilowatt hour. Let's say two customers leave. They go to rooftop solar that you're asking about. And so they go off of our grid. The first thing that happens with that is that those customers go into a net billing model. And the net billing model, effectively, they get credit back for the fuel that they don't use. Right? Otherwise, we would burn to produce electricity for them. So we still collect some revenue from those customers. But what does start to happen is that, you know, I call it the shrinking iceberg, right, where the Water and Power Authority, our cost, the wires, the poles, the power plants, everything we have to serve customers, if our customers shrink by two, in the example I gave where we had 100 customers and it goes to 98, our cost does not necessarily go down by the exact same amount because we still have to have the transmission and distribution and all the other infrastructure that we have to serve our customers. And to me, the most effective way to stop that, right, is to get our rates down, right? And that's good for everybody. Not only does it get people to stop leaving the service of the Water and Power Authority, it also helps all of our customers because it lowers their overall cost of electricity. And I talked about the more efficient generators on both islands. That is a huge component of getting that done.
Great. Curiosity, streetlights. Is WAPA responsible for streetlights?
You broke up there at the end, Mr. Otley, but I think your question was, is WAPA responsible for streetlights? And I think it's more extended to all the streetlights. And the answer is no. There are streetlights that the Water and Power Authority owns and is responsible for. There are also streetlights that DPW, or the Department of Public Works, Commissioner Gabriel are responsible for. A lot of the streetlights that Department of Public Works owns were federally funded projects. And so those were installed and maintained and operated by DPW. So when customers see a streetlight out, right, or some other issue with the streetlight, you know, please remember as customers, that may or may not be a WAPA streetlight. Because we certainly have an active program to maintain our streetlights. One of the things we've also been working on with Department of Public Works is there coordination to be had to repair streetlights, which makes sense, right? There's no reason to have two separate crews, you know, traversing the islands to repair streetlights. It makes sense to have, you know, one group of one team of people who repair and maintain the streetlights. What we've got to work through with that, though, is how does that work, right? Who maintains? I mean, WAPA doesn't own the DPW lights, and vice versa. DPW doesn't own our lights. So then how do we make that maintenance work together where, you know, we don't want to get into a situation where we go repair a DPW streetlight and then DPW says, well, you didn't do it right. We're not happy with it, right, or whatever. So we got to figure that out. But the real crux of it is that WAPA does not own all of the streetlights in the territory.
Okay. And I got a... Someone, you know, at your pay site there in Yatavon, persons complain, one, of it's not accommodating for seniors because there's no sitting room, there's no covers, and how slow the process is. What do you have any intentions to upgrade that so the people who got to pay their bills in person could have some shade and some seats, especially for the senior persons?
We do. I was talking, right, in fact, earlier this week with the team that's responsible for our, you know, buildings and grounds and our facilities about exactly that, getting that office reopened to the public. You know, we got to do a little bit of reconfiguring to make that happen. But that absolutely is in process. The one thing I'd ask the public to understand, it takes us a little bit of work. We're going to have to do a little bit of building in there because, you know, we handle money in all of our customer services offices. And just like you go to the bank, right, and, you know, you can't just walk over to the teller and, you know, put your hands on their money. We have the same considerations, right? Because we have a lot of our customers pay with cash, and so we just have to make sure that the security for both our employees and our customers, right? That there's appropriate, you know, barriers and security around that. So it is in process, but we got to do a little bit of work because of that, you know, protecting the cash that gets handled in those offices.
Great. Let's talk a little bit about how do WAPA deal with government agencies versus private homes as far as disconnecting? Is there a time limit? What is allowed and not allowed in both instances?
In terms of disconnecting, you broke up a little bit there. Was your question about disconnecting customers?
Yeah. The private versus government agencies, and is there a difference?
No, great question. So the only difference is what service is being provided, right, by the customer. You know, I think about WAPA's responsibility as very limited. Right. My view of WAPA's responsibility is to produce and deliver water and electricity cheaply, reliably, and safely to our customers. In exchange for that, our customers pay us for that service. Right. If our customers don't pay us, we disconnect you. Right. And so that's the way that business should work. Now, where the disconnection, I want to talk about a couple things around disconnection is that, you know, we do have customers who provide critical services. Right, medical, for example, you know, obviously we have to work with that differently, and we understand that. I mean, that makes sense, right? We have to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the community. The other thing I want the audience to really take to heart is that, you know, a lot of people have questions about their bills or concerns about their bills. If those concerns are raised to our customer service, right, we will suspend the disconnection on that account until that is resolved. And the way we go about resolving that, there's some specific steps that happen in that, one of which is to send a meter reader out to check the meter, reread the meter, and then go through the process of determining, is the customer bill, you know, correct, not correct, is there an adjustment that needs to be made, and then addressing that. And so certainly if people have concerns, reach out to us. You know, we suspend that process until a process of disconnection until we, you know, we resolve, you know, whatever the question is outstanding on a customer's bill.
Okay. And say if you got a dispute, what the, and my question is, how do you check? Is it a manual thing where someone go and checks a meter, or everything is hooked up at the company where an address, and we could check your meter in that way? How does that work?
It works both ways. We can read meters electronically remotely, right from central office, effectively, if you want to think about it that way. However, if you were to call into customer service and say, okay, WAPA customer service, you know, I got a bill that I think is wrong for whatever reason, right? What then happens is, even if your meter is being read electronically, we physically send a meter reading person out to your property, business, or home, right, to physically read your meter. And so, and actually, they'll take photographs of the reading, they document the reading, and then it you know, comes back to, okay, the bill says this, whatever, you know, 200 in terms of kilowatt hours used. Okay, the meter says, yep, 200 kilowatt hours of electricity used. Okay, well, I mean, that reading is correct, right? Because we read it and we have physical evidence and photograph of it. If there's a discrepancy, then there's the next step to figure out what's causing the discrepancy.
Great. Okay. I love it. Let's talk a little bit about the water situation. How consistent is that? We know at times people call, say the water is off at different times. Is there a rotation cycle you have that's going on?
There is not. The only time, you know, we'll have water outages for two main reasons. One is we have a leak somewhere in the piping and the pumps that service a particular neighborhood or community, right? There in some instances we can repair that leak without shutting off the water. We can do some bypassing and things like that. In other instances, we do have to shut the water off for a period of time to actually make the repair. What we try to do is give as much notice to that as we can to the public. Sometimes, you know, you wake up in the morning, 6 a.m., the pipe's broken, we want to obviously fix it quickly, the notice period is short. Now, we do also, though, have to do some periodic maintenance on our system, both electric and water, for that matter, where that does require us to, you know, turn the water off for some period of time. When we do that, we certainly try to give at least several days, if not, you know, a week plus of notice to customers so that they can plan. The other thing we try to do with that is schedule it at a time where it's not as disruptive. I mentioned the Clifton Hill water replacement project on St. Croix. It's about 90% complete. One of the things that customers will see in the coming, you know, few weeks is we will have to take some outages to connect that system and put it in service. What we did in all the work that's happened in Clifton Hill is, you know, did the work without as little as we could impacting existing customers in the existing system. Right, you kind of work in the middle of everything. Well, eventually you do have to connect it to the rest of the system. Right, that will require some outages. Now, what we'll be doing with those is doing them generally in the middle of the night. You know, we'll do a midnight, 1 a.m., 2 in the morning, such that, you know, most of our customers will be asleep and not needing water at that point.
Great. And I know that you have an awesome set of employees there at WAPA. I want you to just share with us some of the great people you got there. But also, is WAPA hiring, and how easy it is to get a job at WAPA for persons out there who just say, hey, how do you get into the WAPA family?
Yeah, great question. Because, yes, we are hiring. In fact, we had a lineman career fair this past Saturday at Market Square East on St. Thomas. We had a great turnout. We had 20 applicants that day, and we have additional applicants who are going to go online and apply. Certainly the best resource for people is to go to VIWAPA.vi, or WAPA.vi, our website. We have all of our job postings there. For everything that we're hiring for. Alternatively, if you know somebody who works at WAPA, tell them you're interested in working at WAPA, and you know, they'll make the connection into us, because we are definitely hiring for a number of positions. The other thing that you asked about our employees. That, so last year, one of the things that's very important to me is that we invest in our employees. Our employees are what make the company work at the end of the day, right? Yes, we have power lines and we have power plants and all that, but without our men and women, none of that works. What we saw last year is we saw 33 internal promotions, right? So not only can you come work at WAPA, you can develop and advance your career at WAPA. I'm a big believer in rewarding people who are making great contributions to the company. We saw a multi-year program where we would put our linemen through an apprenticeship program. It's a power line workers apprenticeship program. It was funded by a federal grant, right? So our federal partners paid to train our employees. We graduated 30 linemen from that school last year. We had a couple of celebratory events, one on St. Thomas, one on St. Croix. And it was really, really fantastic to see just how proud our linemen were for completing that program. We also invest in the safety of our employees. We had almost 200 employees late last year go through a fall protection and prevention training program. Again, federally funded, right? So our federal partners are investing in our employees as well. That really, to me, is a huge thing, because keeping our employees safe is my number one priority. So anything we can do to prevent injuries and our employees go home the same way that they came in to work is incredibly important to me. And the last thing, I got a text from our HR department. The other way you can inquire about working for WAPA is to email our human resources department. The email address is careers, so real easy, at viwapa.vi. Again, that's careers at viwapa.vi. So you can also reach out to us through that.
Okay, sounds great. And, because normally when in crisis situation and say the power goes out, oh, we get calls and they just beat up on WAPA. But we got to think about safety, especially with the line crew and the others working behind the scene. Okay, I'll let you give you a chance to wrap up and just share the future and what the customers could look forward to from Water and Power Authority.
Looking forward, there are two major initiatives that we have that I'm very excited about and focused on for the next 12 months. One is, I mentioned, more efficient generation on both St. Thomas and St. Croix. Think about it like right now, some of our power plants are the equivalent of an old, inefficient, gas-guzzling 1970s pickup truck, right? We're swapping that out for, a brand-new, modern, fuel-efficient vehicle that we're going to be able to make the same or more electricity for a lot less fuel. Right, and that cuts our costs. So that's a huge, huge benefit. The other thing that will be very impactful to us as we go forward, and very excited about this as well, is that we have abundant, everybody can look out their window and see, we have abundant natural resources in the territory in terms of sun and wind. And so we are pushing hard, and we're fairly advanced in getting both contracts signed to develop wind power as well as solar power. And those contracts are at very attractive prices relative to what it cost us to make electricity today. So we've been talking a lot about getting our costs down, right? And then in turn, lowering the cost of electricity. The renewable energy effort, the solar and the wind, are hugely impactful from that perspective. So we are pushing hard to get those done. So I'm looking forward to getting both new generation and solar and renewable, you know, really far down the line in 2023.
All right, because, you know, it sounds great, but people want instant service. I want it now.
Yeah, and I ask people to please be patient, because one of the things I think people don't necessarily always understand is that the systems that we operate, our power plants, our power lines, our water system, they're big, they're complicated, they require a lot of, you know, physical digging, building, installing. You know, we handle a lot of chemicals in the power plant, right, to deal with environmental emissions controls. And so, you know, I wish it was as simple as buying it at the Home Depot and plugging it in. It's not. But we are, you know, rest the audience assured that we are working as hard and as fast as we can at getting this stuff done.
Great, great. Well, like I said, I've noticed the improvements. The outages don't be as long. So, yep. And that's good. So we know we're making improvements. And I just got to say congratulations to you and your awesome staff as they continue to improve and make it easy for businesses and the people of the Virgin Islands.
I appreciate that, and I'd like to thank the men and women of WAPA for exactly the same thing, is that we have a lot of dedicated people who, you know, work really hard to, you know, to serve the community.
And again, thank you for your leadership in making it all happen. We got great people, but also we need great leadership. And, hey, thanks to you and continuing good service and leadership. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I appreciate that, and I hope everybody has a great day, and appreciate the audience's time this morning, and I appreciate you having me on, Mr. Otley.
And we look forward to doing it again in the future.
Likewise.
Okay, thank you very much. And that's WAPA CEO Andy Smith, just giving us an update on what's going on our Super WAPA USVI. Coming up, we got news. We got Robbie. We got a whole lot of great stuff on the morning show.